And so last week we started talking about passion, and we said, his passion, your passion. How many know God was passionate about us? Aren't you glad for that? So we started in John 13. Let's go there for a minute. I just want to show you, remind you. This is the passage that Jesus was washing their feet. You remember this? And Peter was like, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. That's no, 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 no. Jesus said, if you don't wash my feet, you have no place with me. And then remember, Peter's response is like, well, then wash me from the top of my head to my bottom of my toes. And Jesus said, no, no, that's not necessary. I just need to wash your feet because your feet is what's dirty. Do y'all remember this? Yes. Y'all here tonight?
Yes.
Y'all here tonight?
Yes.
And, but I like what, I like what it says in John chapter 13, the first verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. See, what God is doing, he's dying because he loves people in the world. And he knows without his blood being shed, there's no remission of sin. So he's connecting the dots, saying, this is why I'm going. But then he says, and he loved them to the end. The end meaning that he was going to die on a cross. So it's not a little thing. Jesus is completely passionate for us. And we don't understand because we don't know how awesome heaven is. But I mean, know if you stayed at a five-star hotel and then you got booted out and had to be in like Motel 6. How many know there's a difference between a five-star hotel and Motel 6? Well, let me say it like this. There's a bigger difference between heaven and earth. See, we don't know what a sacrifice it was. But it was a huge sacrifice. And that was even before he went to the cross. So my point is, in just reviewing what we talked about last week, this is a huge deal. That Jesus was willing to not just come here, but... And how many know, you say, how many know Jesus didn't have to go to the cross? How many, well, yeah, but that was the will of God. Yeah, but Jesus was following the will of God. And Jesus is tempted in all ways. What does that mean? You think it's automatic? It wasn't automatic. Jesus could have walked in, Jesus could have said, Father, you're asking too much. You know what? Y'all aren't worth it. And it's just not worth it. You know what? Dad, let's start all over. I don't want to do this. But Jesus didn't do it, and neither did his father. You know, his father could have scrapped the whole plan. Father could have said, man, I tell you what, I thought I was going to be able to watch my son go through all this, but I just can't do it. It's just, y'all ain't worth that either. But neither one of them did. Neither one of them backed down. My point is, just very interesting, he was through it at the end. And watch this. And at any point in time, you know, those 39 stripes, at any point in time, he could have said, you know, after 20, he could have said, change a plan. I ain't doing this. It ain't worth it. you know, at 25, at 29, at 32, at any point in time, at being, you know what, blindfolded and then punched in the gut and then sarcastically saying, prophesy. At any point in time, he could have said, angels, get me out of this mess. Do you remember we talked about this last week? You remember when he spoke to the wind? The other day, you know what? Did you guys have a lot of wind yesterday? Man, it was blowing hard. And my whole patio was all, we had these big, I don't know what they call them, trees behind us, and the whole patio was just, what a mess. How many know there's wind that is so powerful? Well, you've seen a tornado, right? That's how they say it in the place where they got tornadoes, you know what I mean? Man, we had a tornado, man. It was wild, right? How many know that we don't understand the power of God.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we went to Seal Beach one time, and the waves weren't like huge, just regular waves, you know what I mean? And one of those waves took Tyler and just slammed him on the bottom. Just boom. And he got up, and his arm was like a backwards W. You know what I mean? True story. And we just got there. And Tyler ran out, was playing in the water. Boom, that happens. And he comes out of the water like this. He's got a huge tolerance of pain. And he was like, ah, Dad, look. And it's a true story. And my wife saw him and thought he was doing some funky thing with his hand. You know what I mean? And she looked at me, true story. She looked at me and said, Drew, tell him to stop that. And I knew what was going on. I knew what happened. You know what I mean? I didn't know he got slammed down, but I knew. I thought, I figured that. Anyway, I was like, hey, honey, he broke his arm. That's his arm broken like that. You know, I've been out in the surf, and the surf been so strong, it just break a board in two like it was just a tweak. At any time, God could have just said, "Hey, wind, blow these guys out," or a lot of other things he could have said. Why didn't he do it? Well, the Bible tells you. You know what? For before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, you know what, had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. Tells you why he did it. Because he loved the people that he knew who were going to come to him. This isn't just the 12. These are all you. How many know we are his own? Amen. And he loved us. How many know he loved us before we knew him? Before we loved him, he loved us. And man, he was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Isaiah chapter 53. Again, we're just doing some review from last week. What I want you to see is how passionate God is for you. Let me tell you why I believe the Holy Spirit has led us into this study on Wednesday night. Because what I feel the Holy Spirit is doing is, as a church, is telling us, hey, I'm passionate for you. I want you to be passionate for me. That's what I sense the Holy Spirit is saying. That there needs to be, Daryl talked about it Sunday. Wow, just awesome message Sunday. Daryl talked about this hunger that God wants to satisfy us, but just because we come into church doesn't mean that we partake of what the Holy Spirit has for us. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, you know what? Push the people, push yourself to be more passionate for God. And one of the ways that I believe we're going to be more passionate for God is just seeing his passion for us. I mean, it's the love of God that leads us to repentance. Well, it's also the love of God, the passion that God has for us, that we can just say, man, I want to love God more. How many want to love God more? How many want to love God more? How many want to love God more? More than you're doing now. Amen. I'm just asking, how many remember a time? And this might not be ever, maybe you're in that place right now. But how many remember a time when you were more, I'm just asking. But how many remember a time where you were more passionate for God than you are now? I'm asking. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you would, if it's true, raise your hand. Amen. Be honest. Okay, and here, keep your hand up. I want to talk to you guys for a minute. Can I talk to you for a minute? Just listen to me. God is saying you can have that time. Listen, wasn't that a sweet time? And here's what God's saying. You can have that. That time can be now. You can go back. Amen. You can. And you said, Pastor, but that time for me, I've never loved God more than I love God now. Let me tell you what. If that's you, that's good. Praise God. But God is saying to you, to all of us, well, guess what? You can go faster than you're going. Amen? Praise God. I was driving in a car with a friend recently, and it was a brand new, the big Lexuses. I don't know what they're, the 470 or something. And he was driving, and he said, you know, my last car like this was a eight-cylinder, but now the new 470s are a six-cylinder, two cylinders less. But he said, but this is turbocharged, and it's actually more horsepower than the eight-cylinders. And when he was telling me that story, all of a sudden he said, watch, look. And this guy's like 68 years old or 65 years old or something, but he put the pedal to the metal, and listen, this is a true story. And I remember freaking out a little bit because it had such pickup that it put my back. I was thrusted back in the seat, and I tripped out because I thought, okay, he's gonna come off the gas pretty soon. But he didn't come off the gas for a long time. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. And the whole time my back is up against that seat. And I'm thinking, when is he gonna, and he just kept on. I was like, oh my goodness. He said, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. Those of you who think you're deep in the things of God, let me tell you what, you can go faster than you're going now. And all I'm telling you is that there's deeper places that are going to be better for you in every single area. They're going to make your relationships better. They're going to make your every area in your life. It's going to get better. Amen. Remember God said this? See, you know one of the reasons I love this church? Thank you, Peter. I think I will. One of the reasons why I love this church is because this church is not afraid to tell you what God says and to tell you how good God is. Amen. Tell you how good God is. There's a place in God that he wants us to go to that you are, listen, this is what I hear God saying. The casualness of our Christianity is, it's going to sound intense is perverted. It's just not right. And God says, not in a, you judge what the Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart, but God is saying, guys, no. If you'll be more passionate, there's going to be all this abundance that, Jesus, that's what I started to say, Jesus 10:10, John 10:10 says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you this abundance of life. Amen. Yeah, but if I serve God more, if I'm more generous, if I'm more forgiving, if I follow God the way He wants me, then I'm gonna miss out in this, or then I'm gonna miss out in that, or then I'm gonna no. Satan is a liar. You're not gonna miss out in nothing. Is this making sense to anybody? Isaiah chapter 53, and let's start with this again. This is review. Let's start with verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. This is Jesus. Yet he opened not his mouth. Remember last week? He didn't call upon no angels. He didn't call upon the wind. He didn't tell the wind what to do. He just kept his mouth shut. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked. What did he do wrong? Somebody say nothing. Look at verse 10. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief when he made his soul an offering for sin. Why did it please God? Here's why. Because he was making Jesus an offering for you. Say for me. That's why it pleased God. Because God said, yeah. I'm going to redeem all those people who can't redeem themselves. Amen. Mm. Who's taking notes? Write that down. Jesus. How did I just say it? Jesus. Redeems those who need to be redeemed. That's not how I said it, but that's okay. That'll do. Verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. What does that mean? He's gonna be raised from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, you know what? At some point in time, some pastor is going to say, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept, like we did Sunday, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, you know what? Because of his shed blood, you know what, that was shed for you and me, all you have to do is accept him in your heart. And people are going to raise their hand. People are going to accept Jesus just like you did one day. And he's going to say, oh, man, I'm so glad I went to the cross. I'm not sad I went to the cross. I'm glad I went to the cross. Amen. 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 Verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. Say, poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And watch this. And he bore the sin of many. Say, that's me. You're the many. And made intercession for the transgressors. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Oh, this is so good. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, we're not alone here. We had some people who went before us, and they are witnesses that God is good. You're not in this thing alone. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Look at that word, let us. Listen, understand this. God never tells you to do something that you can't do. And watch your words. You know what? You're like, man, it's so hard. It's so hard to lose weight. It's so hard to lose weight. Why you keep on saying that? Amen? Man, I'm bad with names. I'm so bad with names. I always forget. See, you start to just speak death. You know, I forget everything. It's like, shh. Speak life. Don't speak death. Amen? But notice it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let is saying you can do whatever you want to do. You know, some people complain. You know, they're like, oh, man, it's so heavy. Well, then why are you carrying it, Jackson? This makes sense? Take it off, amen. You can take it off. You know what? Your marriage can get better. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You can lose some weight. Amen. Somebody say amen to this. You know, you can start tithing. Amen. There's like, oh, I can't tithe. You can do whatever you want to do. Amen. That's not, nobody's forcing you to do anything you want to do. But you know what? You create a mess with your tongue. The Bible says that, you know what? Your tongue ensnares you. Amen? And you need to just, let us lay aside. Let us. Your choice. Somebody say, my choice. You want to move forward? You can move forward. You don't? You don't. It's up to you. But at least be honest and say, you know what? The reason I'm in my mess is because I just like to be in my mess. Amen? You know, I used to do this. I used to lay in bed. Some of you, you know, I used to lay in bed, and you know what? The fan would be squeaking, or something, you know, dogs barking, or something's going on, and I'm just laying there, and I'm so lazy. And I will lay there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Oh, that's keeping me up. Oh, that's keeping me up. Oh, that's keeping me up. And I will learn, stop doing that, man. Get up and turn it off. Amen? Just do something about it. You know what? Get up and move. Fix it. That's what he's saying, Hebrew. He's saying fix it. This thing that is weighing you down, man. You know, whatever it is, a lot of times it's a lack of, you know what, forgiveness. A lot of times, can I tell you what it is? A lot of times it's, can I be honest with somebody? Yes. A lot of times it's just not shutting your mouth. Because your mouth, you know what the Bible says in Proverbs? It says, you know what? When people talk a lot, there's sin that just pops out. You ever know somebody who talks too much? You know, I didn't ask if you were sitting next to that person. I didn't ask that. Okay. All I'm saying is just recognize sometimes the very thing that's the only thing that's stopping you is you're continuing declaring. Oh, that's what I'm going to talk about Sunday. Calling the things that are not as though they were. It's already happened. And you're just walking around like saying, oh, it were. And people are looking at you like, huh, were? It ain't even are yet. But no. You are spiritually driven. And you understand. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And you're dealing in the spiritual realm. That's how God did. That's how everything gets done. Amen. All I'm pointing out is the Bible says, lay it aside. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Looking unto Jesus. See, his passion, your passion. Looking unto Jesus. You know why we ought to be more passionate to God? Well, I'm going to show you in a minute. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why did he endure the cross? Because of you. He said, you're worth it. Despising the shame. All kinds of shame. He's like, I'm going to do it anyway. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. That's right. Same thing. I mean, just different way of saying looking unto Jesus. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. This is personal. They were punching him out. They were spitting at him. They made him, they took off his clothes. You know, we're looking at like, you know what? Oh, there's Jesus with, you know what? And he's got some funky thing covering. He got nothing covering him. This is shameful. They are killed. You know, on both sides, you know what? Are convicted felons. Say it like that. And he's in the middle. They're like, oh, look at those thugs. Look at those evil people. And he didn't deserve any of it. Why? Because for you. His passion, our passion. His passion ought to make us more passionate. Does this make sense? Look what it says. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. This ain't right. Nobody else is picking weeds. I'm just going to quit. This ain't right. God says to my wife, who asked you? See, how many know we talk ourselves sometimes out of the blessings of God? I mean, we talk ourselves out of the blessings of God. Here's what the Bible says. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Let me just ask you, you think Satan wants you to reap bountifully? Here, let me help you out. If you sow a little, you're going to get a little. If you sow a lot, you're going to get a lot. You think Satan wants you to have a lot or a little? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. So he's gonna try to get you to be disobedient to God. So you start looking at for consider him who endured. Hey, wait, God did it. Jesus did it. I can do it.
That's right. Come on.
Remember when Paul was in jail and he's in chains and they're saying, and a bunch of the churches are like, oh, this is so awful, you're in chains. And remember what Paul said? He said, no, it's really not awful. It's really pretty cool. Because there's some other Christian folk. This is the Southern version. There's some other Christian folk who are seeing what I'm going through, and it's making them bold to say, hey, look what Paul's going through. Paul's in jail in chains. The least I can do is show up Saturday and pass out some cards. Come on, you can say amen to this. Do you understand? And he says, and besides that, those guys are getting bolder, which is awesome. And you know what? And I'm getting a bunch of the guards saved, and a bunch of the big wigs are coming in, and I'm talking to them about Jesus, and they're all getting saved. This ain't so bad. Amen. So he's saying, for consider him who endured hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in our souls. Let me just close with this, and we'll jump on this next week. but watch this. What he's saying in this, because I really want to go on, but that's okay. We'll stop here. And discouraged in our souls. You know what happens? We start to, when we look at the big picture, we can look at Jesus and recognize, oh my goodness, there's so much more I can do in the kingdom of God. Right? When we look at ourselves, it's easy for us as we look at our own life and we start to think, you know what? Well, you know what? I'm going to do, you know, if I serve like this, then I can't do that. If I give like this, then I can't buy that, which is absolutely ridiculous anyway. But, and I'm not saying that there's sometimes that you don't have to, you know what, be patient. But what I'm saying is, what we do is, the Bible says in the last days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And we start to recognize, we start to think that if what we do is just going to be about ourselves, 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 and as we do that, we get discouraged in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. That's what your soul is. And why are you getting discouraged? Here's why. Because you're not considering Jesus. You don't understand the big picture. How many know we're only here for just like that? But how many know everything that we do, you know what you're going to be judged on, the Bible says? You know the Bible says you're going to be judged on? Ooh. This would be a good answer that we would know, don't you think? Don't you think? Well, how many know we are going to be judged? Oh, my goodness. How many know we are going to be judged? So we're like, oh, no, we're not going to be. Your first judgment, you're going to be judged whether you're in the kingdom or whether you're not in the kingdom. But how many know the Bible says that you're going to be judged on what you do? See, some of you don't even know that. You're like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. No, you are going to be judged on what you do. The Bible says that. Now, you say, well, yeah, I thought, but if we're all in heaven, we're all going to be happy, right? Oh, trust me, we're all going to be happy. But how many know that in heaven, reaping and sowing isn't going to stop? Listen, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And those things that we do here on earth are going to make a big difference in heaven. Now, how does that all shake out? I don't know. I have no idea. Here's what I do know. That the Bible is very clear that these books are going to be pulled out. And these books are going to be, there's a book, the Bible says in Revelation, and there's books. The book of life. Are you in there? Amen. I got to stop. Listen, we need to go deeper in this next week, okay? Here, can I give you a preview? You know the Bible says that every person's name is written in the, be careful. Don't shout me down too soon. Don't think I'm full of heresy. Just listen to the whole thing first. The Bible says that every person's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone's name. Pastor, you think everybody, that's false doctrine. Whoa, 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 whoa. I said, wait. But those who don't accept the blood of Jesus Christ, guess what? Their names gets erased. I love that. You know why I love that? Because God expects everybody's just going to accept Jesus. Why wouldn't you? Pride. pride of life. I got this. I don't need Jesus. I don't even believe God exists. The Bible says that anybody who is alive is going to be responsible because they see him in his handiwork. God is shouting at people every day in the beauty of what he's created, saying, I'm real, I'm real, I'm real, I'm real, I'm real, I'm real. Stop listening to that university professor who doesn't know anything. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I'm telling you, I'm real. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you know God? Amen. Amen. How many ready to hear the rest next week? Father, we thank you for your word. It's always so rich. And Father, we are encouraged and we're challenged. Help us to be passionate for you like you are passionate for us. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.